Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 35. Kamadi bir anad vidam prasanta kila rityat chitam brahma sukha sprishtam naivoti state karichit. Kama adibi, by various lusty desires, anavidam, unaffected, prasanta, calm and peaceful, akilavriti, in every respect or in all activities, yat, that which, chitam, consciousness, brahmasukha, sprishtam, being situated on the transcendental platform in eternal bliss. Na, not, eva, indeed, utishteta, can come out, karhichit, at any time. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Purport. The Brahma Sukha Sprishtam is also described in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. One who is transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In this situation, he begins transcendental activities or devotional service to the Lord. Generally, once elevated to the transcendental platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, one never comes down. But if one does not engage in devotional service, there is a chance of his returning to the material platform. Aruya Krichena Param padam tatha patantyana dadrita yushmarangrayaha. One may rise to the platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, but even from that platform one may fall down to the material platform if one does not engage himself in devotional service. Mom Vishnu Vraya, let's read the verse again. Kamadi virana vidam prasanta kila vrityat chitam brahma sukha sprishtam divoti shteta karichit. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. There are two ways of coming to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. That is to realize our eternal position. One is the indirect way through the modes of material nature. Namely, by following the rules and regulations generally of varna and ashram. One may go from karma yoga to jnana yoga to astanga yoga and then rise up to the platform of Brahma Bhuta realization. On the other hand, the direct way of obtaining Brahma Bhuta realization is by the process of devotional service. The advantage of coming to realize we're eternal not only theoretically, but by actual experience, is superior through the Brahma-Buddha platform because one, on the way to experiencing transcendental knowledge, one can also experience transcendental bliss. In other words, the very process of devotional service encourages one to go to higher and higher levels of transcendental knowledge and also becoming detached from materialistic desires. Because in the material world, everyone is interested in trying to be happy. And the happiness perceived in the material world is in the absence of the misery that we experience trying to enjoy the material senses. That the least we're miserable, the more we could declare ourselves to be happy. Less we're miserable, the more we declare ourselves to be happy. So the material world is a place where dukkhaliyam ashasvatam. Everyone is suffering, and those who are suffering less are considered to be happier. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartano jana mamupetya tukunteya punarjanma nuvidite. Actually, before that he says, mamupetya punarjana dukkhaliyam ashasvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsidim paramangataha. After attaining me, those who are yogis in devotion never come back to this temporary and miserable world because they have attained the highest perfection. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all the places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So the fact that we have to die in itself, of course we don't die. We simply change bodies. But changing bodies is very inconvenient. And because changing the body is not always changing to superior body, just like if you're riding around in a Rolls Royce, and then suddenly the only thing left you have is a tricycle to move around in. It's big, you know what a tricycle is? The children ride around in three-wheeler. Then it's very depressing. Your whole life you're riding around in a Rolls Royce, and suddenly all you have left is a tricycle. So the human form of life is like a Rolls Royce. We have so many opportunities here, and then suddenly you become a snake under someone's rock. It's quite depressing. Of course, people, when you become a snake, you don't know you're a snake anymore. It's not that you think, oh, I was a multi-billionaire. I had so many servants, and now I'm a snake. This is kind of like, wasn't what I was expecting. But that's how the material world works. And the more we try to gratify our senses, then the more likely it is that we take a lower form of life. But no one is trying to gratify their senses. We put into a miserable form of life. One is thinking that this is the only way of becoming happy. So as long as one accepts that, then one becomes more and more degraded. In other words, that innocent mistake of thinking this will cause my happiness actually causes the greatest amount of distress. If one can understand, at least theoretically, that I'm not the body, then one can understand that there must be something wrong with my position. Most people don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing or their position. They think it's normal. It's perfectly all right. Now, if we even have a little conception that I'm not this body, then I might start questioning, maybe something's wrong here. Maybe because I'm here in Slovenia, maybe it's not the highest position in the whole universe. Maybe there's something going on here that shouldn't be going on here. Maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Maybe this position I'm in right now, it might even be dangerous. Now, of course, we have this pandemic and everyone's worried about the pandemic and, you know, what happens if the coronavirus or SARS virus 2 gets to me. Well, whether it gets to us or not, we're going to die anyhow. At least his body is going to die. And then we have to take another one. So we're in a precarious position no matter how we die. It's not that we die in our bed, sleeping peacefully, then it's a superior death because we died in a healthy state. They died, but it was a healthy death. Before they died, they took their vitamin pills, so you know it was good. Or if we die in a tragic way, then it's very bad. Because the fact is, no matter how we die, we get another body, either spiritual or material. So what's good is if we get a spiritual body, and it's bad if we don't. Of course, if we get a superior body, which we're inspired, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, prapya punya kritam lokam ushisva shastiti samak suchinam shimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate. That after leaving the body, if one has at least tried to do something spiritual, at least in that direction, then he goes to the heavenly planets, which is like taking a very brief vacation, and then we have to come back again. Because when we come back, at the end of Kali Yuga, you get a 400,000-year vacation in the heavenly planets, and you just happen to come back in the last 27,000 years of Kali Yuga, where the little people are running around to eat us, then it's kind of like your vacation's been spoiled. So, going to the heavenly planets is a compensation for a little bit of devotional service. And when one takes birth again, he may take birth in a family of aristocratic people, like Brahmins, for instance, or mercantile people who have money. So you don't have to worry about working so hard. And if you're fortunate enough to take birth in a Brahmin family, you might receive some education in the mode of goodness. Certainly there'll be vegetarians. You'll learn about the regular principles, not after you're 30 years old, but when you're in your early childhood. You know that there are four of them, rather than three. No meat, fish, and eggs. But ataiva yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etari duralabhaturam loke janmati dhidrisham. But if one is even more fortunate, if one is actually a little serious about devotional service, then he can take birth in the family of transcendentalists and resume his spiritual advancement that he left off in his last lifetime. And what is ultimately that spiritual advancement? Now, whether one is a yogi trying to meditate and get free from lusty desires, anger, and greed, becoming aloof from those things, and fix the mind upon Paramatma, or if it's a devotee trying to engage in unalloyed devotional service, then the result is that one will gradually realize, become more aware of the fact that we're not this body. At least at the beginning, that's one of the things that becomes evident. Not only that Krishna is, for the devotee, becomes obvious or evident that Krishna is God and that we're his servant and how the material nature is working. And for a yogi, he becomes evident that he's not the body. He's not the mind. He's not the false ego. Prabhupada is not himself either. Prabhupada gives the example of the coconut. If you take a green coconut and shake it, you can't hear anything. But as the coconut becomes riper and riper, then gradually the inside falls out. And if you shake it, you can hear the inside of the coconut. So the soul is inside, and as he becomes mature in devotional service, then he falls out of the material concept of life. And that, although apparently he's doing so many activities, the body's working, but he knows that he's not the body. Naiva kinchit kromiti yuktamanyate tatvavit Pashan Srinvan Srishan Jigran Ashnanga Chan Svapan Svasan Prajapan Vishujan Jinan Umishani Mishanapi Indriyaran Diyarte Shuvarta Antaiti Dharyan. That Naiva Kinchit Karomiti, Naiva Kinchit at any time. Now, if we're in the class and someone reminds us that you're not your body, then we think, wow, fantastic, I'm not this body. That's great. And then 5 minutes later, we're acting as if we are the body. Then our realization obviously is not very deep. Naiva kinchit. At any time, when one actually becomes self-realized, there's no time when we'll identify with oneself with the body anymore. Karomiti, and as being the doer, karomiti, I am the doer, I am raising my hands, I am talking, I am doing so many different things. No one becomes realized that actually, what? Naiva kinchit karomiti, yukta manyate tatvavit. When the mind is actually fixed on Krishna, dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, yukta manyate tatvavit, then he becomes tatvavit. He knows things as they actually are. Now, knowing things as they actually are is not to figure out what the root cause of the pandemic is or how many angels can fit on the tip of a pin. That's not really the knowledge that's being explained here. It's tattvavit, one who actually knows the truth about oneself as this being a spiritual being and Krishna being the supreme spiritual soul. That is knowledge. And everything else besides that, Krishna declares to be ignorance. So we may admire people for their academic degrees or their expertise in so many different things, but if they don't know that they're not their body, if they haven't realized they're not their body, then they're still in ignorance. All their knowledge is just Shrama Eva Kevalam. It will not do them very much good, because whatever they can accomplish in this mature world, in this present body, will be lost. And the next life they get will depend upon what activities they've done, either good, bad, or a mixture of them. As I've explained often, that one may be an Olympic swimmer. One may be able to swim across the ocean, the pool faster than anyone else in the world. But at the end of life, all that practice will simply result, if the person is not pious enough, in taking the body of a fish. You may get an Olympic gold medal, but you can't take it into the ocean with you. You can't take it with you. But the result is, more than the Olympic medal, you'll get a body which can swim twice as fast as you can as a human being. You can say, if you can compete as a fish in the swimming pool against all the people competing in the Olympics, surely you'll win. So you'll get it rewarded. You'll become twice as fast in the ocean as you were in the swimming pool. But who will accept that? As one lady, one student told Prabhupada after Prabhupada explained this philosophy, Swamiji, you tell me that if I act like a dog, I'm going to become a dog. But I want you to know, Swamiji, I don't mind if I become a dog. I want to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessings. So certainly she got Prabhupada's blessings. She became a beautiful cocker spaniel. Is that actually the goal of life? It's due to ignorance, due to misconception of what the purpose of life is. So, what is the process? Mam chayo vyabhacharyena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samititaitam brahma bhuyayo kalpate. If one engages in devotional service unfailing in all circumstances, when it once comes to the platform of Brahman. In other words, our process is simple. simply engage in devotional service in such a way with knowledge. Because it's not just service, it's with devotion, with knowledge, which is vyabhicharena, that is unbroken. So that takes some practice. We've been searching after so many things in the material world to make us happy since time immemorial, and they've accumulated in the form of our karma, whether it be prarabdha karma, or aparabdha karma, or other tendencies called kuto or papo, but all based on avidya. So as Prabhupada said, it takes time to get out of this foreign atmosphere that we're accustomed to. But if we practice devotional service sincerely and understand what we're trying to achieve, then gradually we can make some progress. And that progress in itself is encouraging. On the other hand, the indirect process is not necessarily encouraging, nor do one have any idea sometimes if one is actually making progress. Trying to go through the process of dutiful activity, cultivation of knowledge, meditation, and then reach to the stage of realization is rather an arduous process that takes many lifetimes. But here, if we take seriously even dancing, chanting, and feasting, we can actually go back to the spiritual world. Whereas Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis may speculate day and night, but we'll eat our way back to Godhead. Because we should take prasadam with devotion also, which just makes it more relishable. There's an art of even eating in devotional service, if it's devotional. Then one can actually become Brahma-Bhuta. One can become happy and joyful. Eating in such a way as that we remember Krishna takes away from our heart this desire to exploit the material nature and lord it over, instead to appreciate it in relationship to Krishna, which eating is a very essential part of that progress, honoring prasada. And honoring our relationships with others, etc., the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they try to get out of relationships with others, and the devotees try to develop them into a spiritual relationship. Because the spiritual world, that's all you have, is spiritual relationships. There's nothing else going on. There's no construction company in the material, in the spiritual world, trying to build a bigger Chintamani palace. There's no sports heroes in the spiritual world. Maybe Krishna is a sports hero, but he loses a lot against the coward boys. He doesn't always come out. He's not even the best wrestler, usually. There's no Olympics. There's just dancing, chanting, and feasting. That's all that's going on there. And if you don't like it, then you can come back here and work like a dog so you can eat like a hog, have sex like a pigeon, and defend yourself like a tiger, and become the champion. Therefore, in this verse, it recommends at least to act like we're a spiritual being. At least theoretically think I'm a spiritual being, and then to act like that. And then one can act in devotional service, and therefore make some progress. Other than that, here it says one can experience happiness, eternal happiness, and Brahman, realization. But Shukadeva Goswami didn't think like that. He thought, when he was in the womb of his mother for 16 years, maybe I better stay here. It seems safe in here. If I go out, then maybe I'll get attracted to something material and fall down. So that was in Dwarpa Yuga, the end of Dwarpa Yuga. It wasn't even the beginning of, wasn't even Kali Yuga yet. And he was afraid of falling down. And we have no fear. We're so conditioned to being fallen that we're not afraid of falling down either. We're not afraid of falling down because we're already fallen. When you're fallen, how can you fall further? Of course we can fall further. But because we're already fallen in the material concept of life, and we like it, We like our material existence here. We think it's pretty good. We're quite fortunate. As Prabhupada would say, that even the worm, when it's in stool, it's having a great time, thinking, finally I got, you know, I'm in an ocean of fresh food. It's free. My whole family's here with me. I don't have to pay for them. The rent's free. This is the life. Everyone in the material world is thinking they're doing well. It Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even in hell, people are thinking that they're going to enjoy. Thinking, well, the weather here is pretty warm. It's always just, you know. Everything here is pretty predictable. We have our schedule getting tortured every day. I've never been more regulated in my life. So one has to get out of this conception that material world, we're doing fine here, don't worry, we got our shot, things will be alright. No worries. Into realizing that actually I can become happy not only when I realize I'm eternal, but also when I realize who I actually am. When I wake up to my real identity, I'll even like who I am. And there won't be any more problems. Of course, if you are afraid of not having problems, then this is a good place. There's plenty of them. And they'll increase. And you have a lot of things to do to solve them. You want to be active and solve problems and take pleasure in how many problems I solved today. Don't worry. Just stay around. You'll have plenty of problems to solve. There'll be unlimited problems to solve. And we want to go to a place where there are no problems. There's only happiness. Transcendent loving relationships with everyone. There's no one to be envious of. You like everyone. And everyone likes you because you like everyone else. Then this is not the place to be. Better to go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Kuala. Pitani? Is it? I always forget. We have Vaprosi. We have Pitani. What's that? Prashanya. Oh, Prashna. Well, that's more Sanskrit. That's right. Prashna. Prashani?
Maharaj, you mentioned this being absorbed in this concept of being in this so-called regulation and forgetting who we are. What is this? Is this illusion or what is this? Is this ignorance or
well, what, forgetting who we are?
Yes, and
when we don't know who we are, it's just a symbol we've accumulated. We've acted in lust and greed and anger. And therefore those things manifest themselves, they kind of like manifest themselves as delusion. So that's a sign of being in delusion. In other words, when we're in delusion, when we identify ourselves with this body, it's accumulated lust, it's the accumulated activities we did out of lust and out of anger and out of greed. And we're put into this. So, when we act in Krishna consciousness, gradually the past activities that were done in lust, anger, and greed become purified in devotional service, and therefore gradually our delusion is dispelled. And as our delusion is dispelled, then our memory is returned to us. And as our memory is returned to us, well, I should say, actually, it works the opposite. Because at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, Krishna asks Arjuna, that's the test. He asked Arjuna, Kachire tachutam partha, tvaya ka grena chetasa, kachire agana samoha, pranatastha te diranjaya. My dear Arjuna, have actually you've listened with perfect attention, ekagra. And is your delusion now dispelled? Arjuna says, nashto moha smritir labdva, tat prasada maya chuta, Stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Yes, I've actually woken up. I'm awake now. Nashtamoha. My illusion has actually been dispelled. Smritir labdva. I've gained my memory who I actually am now. What's actually going on here? I've just woken up. Tat prasada maya chutat. All by your mercy. Karishe vachanam tava. And now I'm prepared to act according to your direction. So actually acts as the material world is causing our conditioning by looking around at the objects of the senses, and naturally the heart, we can feel it. Everyone can feel, any sane person can feel. As soon as you see some object of the sense that you become attracted to, immediately the lust in the heart. Yeah, our whole consciousness gets shaken. Oh, is this love or is it lust? I don't know. Looks beautiful for now. And then the result is, oh, then it feels, oh, lust. Yeah, I need, it would be so nice. And then comes greed. If we actually satisfy our senses, then I need more. It wasn't enough. Just one more time. Just one more potato chip. One more. Just one more. Maybe two more. Maybe I need another bag of potato chips, actually. And then we become angry, frustrated. Oh, I feel sick. I got cheated by Maya again. Oh, this Maya, I want to get her. Where is that Maya? I'm going to get her. And then we become deluded, the whole thing, you know, I'm a victim, you know, cry on someone's shoulder. Oh, Krishna is so mean to me. I'm such a nice devotee and he's so mean. Then we forget actually all the, it was our mistake. Krishna was reminding us, beep, beep, don't do it. No, Krishna, go away, don't bother me. Then we do it, oh, Krishna, why didn't you tell me? Beep, beep. And then our memory is bewildered. And then we lose our intelligence. Then we do the same thing again. Out of anger, frustration, greed, or lust. Then we do it again. Oh, I don't care. We lose our intelligence. I remember this lady hit a car one time. And she became so frustrated because she had hit the car. She backed up and hit it again. Taking out her frustration. And then she actually backed up and hit it again until the car couldn't work anymore. That's called madness. You become mad, crazy, because you lose your intelligence. So the opposite is we hear a reality, and we hear it and we accept it, then it gives us intelligence so that when we're in a situation we have some memory left. We think, oh, better not hit the car again. It was bad enough the first time, the second time, the third time is going to be worse. And then we gain our memory, and then our delusion, we don't necessarily work simply according to our delusion. We work according to some other methodology. We don't just wind up bumping our head against the wall all the time. We have some vision of what we're supposed to do. And then the result is that our frustration diminishes. And our greed that we need more and more, we become tolerant of lust and greed. And the result is we wake up, Krishna becomes pleased, he sees we're sincere, we're actually trying to understand things properly, we're trying to work properly, we're not acting in delusion or out of lust and greed. And he says, all right, they're sincere enough. Or give them some transcendental knowledge. Or make it realized. I reveal myself to them. And then one makes progress. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trivida narakasyetam, dwaram nashitam atmanaha, kama krodha tata lobas, tasmat etam trayam chajet. There are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. Etan, etara vimukta kondiya, tamo dwaras trivirnara. That anyone who follows this etan etara vimukta kondiya tamo dvara sri virga. Anyone who gives up these three gates, performs activities conducive to self-realization, and therefore he attains to the supreme destination. Yakshasriya vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata nasasidim avapnoti nasukam naparam gitim. That one who doesn't follow scripture, one who gives up the regulations of scripture and acts whimsically, which means according to lust, anger, and greed, can't obtain peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Tasmat shastra vidanam te karmakara kart. Tasmat shastram vinadoktam karmakartam yuharasi. Tasmat shastram vinad yakshastram vidunasi. Tasmat shastram vidanam to karmakartam. I'm getting confused there. Tasmat shastram primadam te karya karya vyastito. Gyatva shastram vidanokta karmakartam. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya devyastito. Gyatva shastram vinanokta karma kartam viharasi. So that's our problem. We don't like to follow authority. That's our real problem. We don't like to follow any authority. What to speak of spiritual authority? We only like to follow authorities who tell us that we're the authority. If we get an authority and say, you're a God, that's how they trick you. You're a God, but in order to become a better God, you have to surrender to me, and then I'll make you a better God. Or as one of these philosophers said, that everyone is guru and everyone is God. So if everyone is guru and everyone is God, then why do you have to find out from that person that you're guru and God? Has a God has to be enlightened by another God to find out that they're God? What kind of God is that? Or as I said in one book the same author wrote, don't read books. But you're reading his book. So you're disobeying him immediately. Makes no sense. So this idea, don't read books. Don't listen to anyone. Listen to me. What they're saying is essentially, listen to me. Like the Ridviks, they say, surrender directly to Prabhupada. But you've just learned that from them. So you have to surrender to them. So how is it surrendering directly to Prabhupada? You've just learned from them that their philosophy is surrender directly to Prabhupada. So you're actually following them. You're going through them to figure out you're supposed to directly surrender to Prabhupada. But it's not direct, it's through them. Don't listen to anyone else except for, you know, to Prabhupada. That means you're listening to them. So it's contradictory. So therefore, contradictory things are usually impersonal Mayavadi philosophy. Some Maya is always trying to trick us, telling us, don't listen to anyone, listen to me. Don't surrender to anyone. They're all rascals. You're the only person who's not a rascal. So that means Maya is telling you everyone else is a rascal. That means you're a rascal because you're listening to Maya. You think you're God. You're perfectly happy and independent. Anything else? Abidu de Roy. I guessed it.
Okay. In the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 36th verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, It is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position. It seems the word transcendental have also other meaning than referring only to self-realized position on the level of prema.
No, they're in the transcendental position if they're performing devotional service. But that's not prema. That simply means that they're above the material nature. Transcendental to the material nature. Just like if the ocean material suffering, and if someone lifts you up 1 inch above the water, then you're not in the water anymore. So as Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu one time, he said, the only difference between you and I is that I can't fall down and you can. So when we're engaged in devotional service, sincerely, then we're considered to be transcendental to the modes, because our activities are spiritual. And if we concentrate a little bit and not become affected by material conceptions and desires, then we're at least that much transcendental. But the next moment we may be overtaken by, we may become attracted to material desires and therefore become under the influence of the material nature again. But a devotee who is actually on the highest platform, he doesn't even know there's a material existence anymore because he's fully engaged in complete absorption, loving devotional service, experiencing unlimited happiness. Kvala, Karantarashi Madhbhagavatam, Kijai.